Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio we'll discuss the age of Pope. Now keep in mind that the age of Pope is part of the neoclassical era. And as I told you even earlier, that neoclassical era can be further subdivided into three sub-eras. One is the age of Dryden, then we have age of Pope, and finally we have age of Johnson. So in this lecture, we'll take up age of Pope. And this is from the time period 1700 to 1745. Okay? Now at the outset, let me tell you that since the entire era is named after Alexander Pope, the writings of Alexander Pope are very important. And let me start with a very famous quotation by Alexander Pope. Quote, "True wit is nature to advantage dressed, what oft was thought, but never so well expressed." Unquote. Okay? Let me repeat this once again. True wit is nature to advantage dressed, what oft was thought, but never so well expressed. Okay? This quotation is there in the Essay on Criticism by Alexander Pope. And let me also tell you one more quotation. Again, this is from the same work, an essay on criticism. Okay? Quote, "A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pyrian spring." Unquote. Okay? Now, this quotation, the second one, perhaps we have all heard. It is just about learning anything deeply rather than superficially. Now, coming to the historical background of the age of Pope. Now, unlike the previous era or the previous century, where there was civil war, where there was religious strife, especially the Puritans were there, right? In the 18th century, especially in the first half, which is the age of Pope, there is relative stability in England under the monarchs. And during this time, it was the Hanoverian monarchs. Okay, Hanoverian bolte hain. Now, Hanoverian refers to a dynasty of monarchs that ruled England beginning with 1714. Okay? And one more fact, let me tell you, later on when we read about Queen Victoria, during the Victorian era, Queen Victoria also belongs to the same Hanoverian dynasty. Okay? She is the last Hanoverian monarch. Ek parivar ka naam hai, okay? And because there was relative stability under the Hanoverian monarchs, this led to economic growth and a rising middle class. Along with this, also keep in mind that it was during this time that the Enlightenment was ongoing in the entire of Europe. Enlightenment or the Age of Reason. Okay? And naturally, the Age of Reason or Enlightenment did influence England also. So everybody was embracing logic, scientific inquiry, individual liberty. Okay? And just as it happens that if there is any philosophical, artistic, economic movement that is sweeping an entire continent, literature will also reflect that in some ways. Along with this, during the era of Pope, there is the rise of coffee houses, or coffee house culture is there. So coffee houses became a hub for intellectual discussion. Intellectual discussion among writers, scholars. So it also led to a spread of ideas. It also encouraged literary debate and criticism. Now along with this, also remember that there was also a decline in the patronage system. Now, patronage system kya hota hai? Where wealthy individuals or kings or royals used to support artists or writers. Now, with the decline of that, writers had to rely on the market to earn a livelihood. So, they had to sell their books, sell their publications in order to earn a livelihood. Okay? So, writers were independent in the sense that they didn't have to side with one particular group or king, but market pressure was always there. Whatever sold in the market, they had to write. Okay? Now, with respect to the various themes that you'll find in literature, the first thing that you'll find is satire and wit. Okay? As I also pointed out in the quotation that I gave you, true wit, right? This is what Alexander Pope talks about. Na? So, wit in writing becomes important. Satire becomes important. Both social and political satire flourished during the era of Pope. So, it targeted various things. It targeted hypocrisy, corruption, mistakes and follies of individuals and also institutions. Okay? And as I said, that wit was something very admirable or a very prized quality that writers had. And the purpose of using wit was to just expose flaws, okay, and also to entertain. Now, along with this, keep in mind that the idea of decorum was very important for literature. The classical writers were revered, very much revered and honored. And if you remember, the age is also a part of the neoclassical age, right? A neoclassical era or age. So, neoclassical kehte kyun hai? Because it was all about imitating the classical writers. Because it was thought that ancient Greek and Roman literature are the models of excellence. So, So imitate the classics in terms of form, in terms of themes, and strive for elegance in writing. And as I said that there was a lot of emphasis on decorum, theek hai? And by decorum, I mean there should be appropriateness in terms of subject, theme, diction, meter, form. So for instance, if I am writing on a particular topic, the style and subject matter should be appropriate for the subject. Then characters and actions should be also appropriate. The language that I use to write should also be appropriate. So language, genre, diction, theme, subject matter, there should be a consistency. So maan lo, koi character hai, king hai. A king should speak in a very elegant way. Whereas if there is a buffoon or a clown, the clown should speak not in a elegant way, but probably in a farcical way. Something that is more befitting to that character. Theek hai? So whatever the subject matter or theme is, everything else, be it diction, be it meter, be it form, be it tone, everything should be appropriate to the subject matter or the theme. Theek hai? Now afterwards, during the era of Pope, we have the use of heroic couplets a lot. Theek hai? So in the exam, they can give you a question on what is a heroic couplet. Along with this, the aim of literature, it was thought that it should be to instruct and also improve morality, to teach and delight. So conveying lessons, moral lessons, and also social commentary. Theek hai? Now let me read out how a famous critic comments on the literature of the age of Pope. Politically, the country was divided into Whigs and Tories, the former seeking greater liberty for the people, the latter upholding the king against popular government. The continued strife between these two political parties had a direct influence on literature, as many of the great writers were used by the Whig or Tory party to advance its own interests and to satirize its enemies, unquote. Now again this critic goes on, quote, the poetry of the first half of the century, matlab during the era of Pope, as typified in Pope, matlab Alexander Pope, was polished, unimaginative and formal, and the closed couplet was in general use, supplanting all other forms of verse. Both prose and poetry were too frequently satiric, and the satire does not tend to produce a high type of literature. These tendencies in poetry were modified in the later part of the century. Matlab during the age of Johnson. Theek hai? These tendencies in poetry were modified in the later part of the century by the revival of romantic poetry. Unquote. So this is how this critic describes the literature during the age of Pope. He says that politically the country was divided into Whigs and Tories, and this had a direct impact on the literature. Satire became a dominant form of writing. Literature was very polished, formal, and the use of the closed couplet. Okay? Now after that, let me read out how another critic, another very famous critic, talks about the literature of the age of Pope. He says that this literature, quote, is a literature of intelligence, of wit, and of fancy, not a literature of emotion, passion, or creative energy. And in it, spontaneity and simplicity are sacrificed to the dominant mania or craze. Take it, craze or mania are sacrificed to the dominant mania for elegance and correctness. This is true even of poetry, which seldom traveled beyond the interests of that narrow world of the town, by which men's outlook was commonly circumscribed, and finding its public in the coffee house and drawing room, drew for its substance upon the politics and discussions of the hour, unquote. So this critic says that this entire literature, not just poetry, is a literature of intelligence. But what kind of intelligence? That intelligence which rarely goes beneath the surface of things. Take care, that intelligence. Along with this, this critic pointed out that this literature was exclusively a kind of town poetry, because the humbler aspects of life are neglected in it. The way, let's say, William Wordsworth later on will take up even the humbler aspects of life, the peasants, the mundane aspects of life. In neoclassical era poetry, especially during the poetry of Pope or the literature of Pope, the humbler aspects of life are neglected. And this literature shows no real love for nature, landscape or the country. Okay? Along with this, also remember that this literature had a profound distrust of the emotions. Okay. On the contrary, they admired devotion to form and polish, rules made by the ancients. And remember that famous quotation by Alexander Pope? Now let me quote those few lines. Quote, those rules of old discovered, not devised, are nature still, but nature methodized. Nature, like liberty, is but restrained by the same laws which first herself ordained. Learn hence, for ancient rules, a just esteem. To copy nature is to copy them. Unquote. Okay? So these are a few lines where even Alexander Pope talks about rules, laws of the ancients that have to be imitated. So whenever you read the literature of the neoclassical period, in particular the literature of the age of Pope, definitely keep all of this in mind. And if possible, note down the quotations that I have mentioned. Sometimes in the exam, they also ask from where is this quotation from or who has written these lines. Okay?